I love this. I am having fun. I have a daughter in Pennsylvania who has now stopped begging me to just quit.
Yeah.
I said, you wouldn't even like me if I quit.
Welcome to the 332nd installment of Ear to the Ground, the Land Stewardship Project's podcast on family farming, regenerative agriculture, community food systems, and local democracy. I'm Brian DeVore, editor of the Land Stewardship Letter. On a recent wintry morning, I walked into a brick building in the west central Minnesota community of Wilmer, climbed a set of stairs, and entered a room dedicated to getting food produced on local farms onto the tables of local eaters. Sitting at a cluttered desk in front of an impressive display of bras was Beverly Doherty, who heads up the Real Food Hub, a humble but thriving entity that buys vegetables, eggs, and grains, as well as meat and dairy products, from area farmers and delivers them to consumers and schools throughout the area. Sitting at a clustered desk in front of an impressive display of bras was Beverly Doherty, who heads up the Real Food Hub, a humble but thriving entity that buys vegetables, eggs, and grains, as well as meat and dairy products, from area farmers and delivers them to consumers and schools throughout the region. One wall was dominated by a line of glass-faced coolers full of food, and as Beverly and I talked, people wandered in to make purchases or pick up bags of food for mothers taking part in a local Head Start program. Beverly started the Real Food Hub in 2017 as a way to not only get more local, healthy food circulated in the immediate community, but as a way to support the local farm economy. It's an offshoot of the Becker Market, a farmer's market she started with some friends in 2007. Beverly grew up in Wilmer and worked as an interior designer in Chicago for 15 years. When she returned to her hometown, she was appalled at the lack of availability of fresh food, particularly in a community surrounded by rich farm ground. Beverly is an energetic 80-year-old with an infectious laugh and an entrepreneurial streak. Besides running the nonprofit Real Food Hub, she also has a bra-fitting business and sells wine via subscription. All of this is being operated out of the building her family owns just off Wilmer's Main Street. The mission of the Real Food Hub is to, as much as possible, circulate food locally. Even during the winter, Beverly consistently buys food from around 8 to 10 area farmers. She also purchases food from the Good Acre, a nonprofit food hub in the Twin Cities, as well as Co-op Partners Warehouse. Besides a handful of schools, the Real Food Hub delivers to dozens of individual customers via drop-off spots in western Minnesota. The Food Hub is part of a coalition of 10 farmers market groups working together under the direction of the organization Renewing the Countryside. On the day I visited, Beverly's son, Jason, was using a rented van to make deliveries to Granite Falls, Montevideo, and Madison. When possible, Jason picks up food from the farms the Food Hub sources from, saving the farmers from hauling their production to Wilmer. For example, on this particular day, he was picking up 15 dozen eggs in Montevideo and wheat berries from Madison. Overall, the Real Food Hub delivery van logs around 300 miles a week. An even more critical statistic is that in 2023, the Food Hub was able to put around $100,000 straight into farmers' pockets. And Beverly expects that figure to grow, thanks to a joint grant she recently received from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture and the USDA. The Local Food Promotion Program grant makes it possible for the Food Hub to provide bags of healthy food to Head Start families in the area. The bags going out the door this particular week in mid-February included cabbage, red turnips, oyster mushrooms, frozen chicken breasts, cheese curds, eggs, potatoes, and barley. Although the Food Hub has been able to operate without grants over the years, Beverly says this particular source of funding allows her to pay farmers what they're asking for while keeping food affordable for eaters. She hopes that it will jumpstart a path for low-income folks to develop a long-term relationship with healthy food while seeing its connection to local economic development. She'd also like to see the local hospital get on board with sourcing more food locally. In all the years she's been involved in Minnesota's local food movement, Beverly has never seen as many financial resources available for supporting food hubs, farm-to-school efforts, and other initiatives. A lot of this funding was a result of the success LSP and our allies have had in recent sessions of the Minnesota legislature, when it comes to pushing for support of community-based food systems. A $100,000 boost to the local farm economy may pale in comparison to the billions of dollars of economic activity generated by the commodity system of agriculture. But it should be pointed out that while studies show much of the wealth generated by the corn bead feedlot machine leaves rural communities, an entity like the Real Food Hub is keeping dollars local. If a small nonprofit with a few coolers, a rented van, two paid employees, and a volunteer can generate this much activity in a few short years, imagine the potential if more farmers and communities are served by food hubs and similar food aggregation and distribution setups. Beverly is constantly on the search for more farmers to source from, which is why she's been participating in community food meetings put on in the region by the Land Stewardship Project recently. I've seen a lot of food hubs come and go over the years. They often struggle with transportation and staffing issues, as well as how to manage and pay for storage facilities. What strikes me about the Real Food Hub is that it's slowly building up a list of farmers it sources from while expanding its consumer base at an equally measured pace. It also helps that Beverly's other businesses make it so that she's a constant presence in the Real Food Hub's headquarters, making it more consumer and farmer friendly. I've included here excerpts of my conversation with Beverly, where, while the food coolers kicked on and off in the background, she discusses why she got involved with launching the Food Hub and the role local food and local farms can play in economic development.
I grew up in Wilmer and worked then for 15 years in Chicago as an interior designer. That's what my last life was. And in Chicago, of course, I learned about the kinds of food that I had never seen before and was able to buy. Fresh and a lot of produce. Real food was a big thing. People in Chicago call it real paycheck, by the way. And then my parents were still here, and my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and my dad asked if I could come help. And I said, sure, because, you know, I needed to help anyway, but I could bring what I do with me, because I had started here as an interior designer. So I got back here, and of course, being used to being able to get really fresh, nice, great food, I was appalled that there really wasn't any access to it, a good access to it. So friends and I began Becker Market in 2007, and we ran that for 13 years. And then farmers started saying to me, why don't you just, that were sitting outside the building here with their stands, why don't you just buy the food from us and we don't have to come here and sit? And I thought, well, that's a good idea. And interior design at that point, after being in Chicago, wasn't really lucrative enough to do again here. So Becker
Market was kind of a farmer's market type
setup? It truly was a farmer's market. Okay. It was downtown, all on the street, in the parking lot here, which belongs to this building, which is Jason and my son Jason and I own. So we set it up here and started, and gradually over the years, the number of farmers kept dwindling. So I knew that wasn't the same as it used to be, as things change. So I could see that that was changing. Just like everything in my life had changed and I'd moved on to something else. So I was pretty good at doing that. And so we set that up and did that. And then I was working a contract for the city of Wilmer to bring in more business to downtown and more kinds of things for Wilmer that would help. And it was just a difficult thing to do because, for some unknown reason, they didn't consider agriculture or local food as anything that was important. And I'm like, where have you been?
We're in the heart of it. Yeah.
And we're growing all this stuff, but not enough of it.
Yeah.
And not good access to it.
Yeah.
Because the grocery stores weren't buying it.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'm just going to do this. So we started with, you know, like nothing. I didn't even know the rules. I just started bringing in stuff, and then I found out there were rules. And so then we proceeded with that. Then 5 years ago, we decided to start a subscription for people to deliver to their homes and buy the food. I had the access to the food now from the farmers, and was working with had been working with them for a long time. And so 5 years ago, we started the subscription delivery weekly. And then in 2023, we expanded that to two routes in the what I call Southwest Minnesota, because I found out that even though the farmers are out there, the people still weren't getting that food because they don't drive to the farm and they don't usually don't have time to and all of that. So we've delivered Jay's loading up right now, my son, and taking the route today to Granite Falls, Montevideo, and Madison, and then back here. Yesterday, he went to the Morris route on Highway 12 West and has stops all along the way and ending at Morris and coming back this way. And then we added, because of the school money that went to schools for, to buy specifically local food, then we got into farm to school. Well, we were already doing the route, so that was helping us a ton, and we could deliver to all those schools on the route if they ordered. So that brought in just all kinds of orders and shortage of food because the farmers hadn't been growing for that kind of a, they wouldn't have known where to sell it.
Right.
So, you know, they have to know they can sell it or they're not going to plant tons of stuff.
Right.
It is a wide area. It's 300 miles a week.
300 miles a week?
Yes.
Okay.
Over and back. And then we began, which I always said should be done, and I didn't know why anyone was doing it, is backhauling from the farmers that live out there so they wouldn't have to deliver the food I bought from them to us.
Okay.
And also because we don't really store food here.
Yeah.
We only bring it in when we when we have a sale for it. So I don't have a ton of room to store stuff either.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah.
And then it's supposed to be fresh. So, you know, it isn't fresh anymore if it's sat here a week.
Right. How many farmers on average, I'm sure it varies a little bit, but how many farmers are you sourcing from?
I would say, even now in the winter, 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
I've reached out to every place in the state to get enough food. Which will tell you we need to grow more, which will make everybody better. The people who sell it and the people who buy it and, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of produce farmers with, you know, carrots and potatoes and all of the regular stuff, some exciting things now that they know they can sell it. I also, through the winter months, because the delivery system that we started is all year.
Yeah,
so, and then we buy from Co-op Partners Warehouse in St. Paul, and now we've added the Good Acre in St. Paul also.
Have you ever sat down and kind of done a calculation of what the economic impact of something like this is? How much money are you putting into the farm economy by buying from these farmers on a regular basis?
If I add up all the pieces that we do, close to $100,000.
A year?
Yep.
Wow.
Last year. And it's going to be more this year.
And it goes, that goes directly to the farmers?
Yeah. And I don't quibble on the price. I pay them what they want for it and put my markup on it and put it out there,
because
what my part that is best for me to do is the sales. I love the sales.
Wow. $100,000.
It's a lot. Yeah.
And
nobody even blinks. They don't. Nobody has one clue that nobody's ever asked me until you did.
Yeah.
But we did $20,000 in farm to school at the end of the year last year. That's a lot for a little place like this.
Yeah.
And little places.
Right. How many schools are you servicing, or were you servicing?
Well, it's surprising because the schools that responded the fastest are the ones that got the extra money, which they had to spend or lose it. So that, you know, that makes the sales job a lot easier.
Yeah.
Wilmer, Alexandria, Morris, they're my main ones, and there are some smaller ones that have too, like Belgrade, Bruton, El Rosa, which is, and they've bought quite a bit for the size school they are.
Yeah.
And all the way to the grade school in Starbuck.
Are you surprised that $100,000
is a lot?
Are you surprised at that, that was the amount?
Well, yeah, because I don't really, I look at monthly what I'm doing, but I don't think, see if the month is going up or down.
Yeah.
But not until I put it together at the end of 2023 did I realize that just the delivery service made $60,000.
Wow.
And it started, and it's been up like a lot every year for 5 years.
Yeah.
First was mostly nothing, and, you know.
Well, that was the question I had was, you're a nonprofit, and so you're using grants, but how much of this is, and people are paying for the food that's being delivered, And the schools, you're getting money through them.
Yes.
They pay for it, you know, that they're getting for their farm-to-school programs. How much is the money you're getting, the income you're getting, covering your expenses of running this place as opposed to having to rely on grants to kind of fill in the gaps?
This is the first grant I've had for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't live on grants.
Yeah.
But this big one is for 3 years, and I'm to provide 40 additional bags of food a week mm-hmm. for 3 years. That's why I'm at Madison and Montevideo and mm-hmm. saying, you've got to grow more. We don't have enough to sell.
So overall, you say you source from around 8 to 10 farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And how many, I guess, quote unquote, customers, how many people are you supplying food to on a regular basis, like in a weekly basis?
Like now, it would be 60 on the route. And it pumps up in the summer. Mm-hmm. More people would rather do it in the summer.
Yeah.
And the 15, and then we'll have 40 if we can get to that.
Uh-huh.
60 and 15, and then it'll be 40, so it'll be 100.
Yeah, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Weekly, yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to say at the meeting that you were at, is think about this, how much more food this is mm-hmm. that can come from here. And really, I just really need you to grow more.
Yeah. And, you know, driving here, you drive by, of course, we're in the middle of winter, but acre after acre of corn, soybean ground. I mean, think about if just some of that, just a small percentage of that was turned over to local food production.
Yeah. It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
You know, most of the larger farms that I buy from out here are like, can be 11 or 12 acres.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need a huge farm to do yeah. this, or you can just carve out a piece of your huge farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was wondering, too, is what are some of the requirements of the farms? I mean, do you have some kind of guidelines for what practices you want them to use?
Oh, yes.
And how they handle the food, that kind of thing?
Yes. Now, I have never had to turn anybody down because I've just told them, you know, you can't bring in muddy potatoes.
Right.
And they have to be washed.
Yeah.
It's got to look beautiful.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and if it's fresh and it's good and people love it, they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
But you can't bring me crap
mm-hmm.
because I'll have to turn it down because the school will turn it down.
Right, right.
And the customers won't order from us.
Yeah. And they don't have to be organic.
No.
No.
No. I've been working with farmers long enough that the ones that I work with I know aren't spraying mm-hmm. and making icky,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
They don't. They're just not certified organic.
Right.
But I do buy from organic ones also.
Yeah. So how do you go about recruiting? You say you're always looking for more farmers. How do you go about recruiting farmers?
Some farmer will tell me.
Word of mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. Probably when they've been buying here for a while and they're not going to forward my name if I haven't been paying them. That's what I'm guessing. That's
yeah.
what I would do.
Yeah.
When you don't know me yet from, you know, from Adam.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're just kind of really going from day to day and whatever, but do you have, looking down the road, do you have future plans? Where you would like to see something like this go? Would you like to just have this get bigger or help spawn other food hubs? Or what would, have you thought about the future a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I would like to get to the next step of processing the local food, peeling and cutting, just the simple things, not mm-hmm. cooking it, because I can't get the equipment.
Yeah.
I've not been successful other than one cooler at getting the equipment that it takes, and it's so expensive.
Right.
So I want to have that work so that I can sell sliced carrots frozen, etc., for the mm-hmm. winter, or that the schools could freeze and keep. And then I've always wanted a commercial kitchen to go further than that.
Mm-hmm.
The room is all ready to go. It's been approved and everything. I just need the equipment.
Yeah.
And I would rent it out to people that are trying to start and see if their product
mm-hmm.
it sells.
Yeah.
Before they invest in, you know,
yeah.
and then they don't make it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I really want the hospital to adopt this as a food prescription.
Oh.
I want local food to be a food prescription.
Yeah.
That you can buy and then learn how to eat.
Uh-huh.
We furnish recipes with the bag every week.
Mm-hmm. And the hospital's just down the street, right?
I know. I've got one doctor over there who's a believer. He comes in here all the time.
So that would be a huge one.
It would be huge.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to offer that to him because I didn't know if I could get enough food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an issue, isn't it?
Like, yeah,
you
it's
could say
supply
you
and
can
demand.
Get people excited and saying, "Yeah, we'll take this," but then if you're not in a situation to supply that.
Exactly. That's not good.
That's not good.
And we had a big farmer out here that's not going to do this anymore in Wilmer, which I bought a lot from. So I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah. So any other big challenges that you really struggle with?
More time to do more.
Well, that's everything. But I understand.
Yeah. My son says, don't think up anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make EBT available on the route.
Mm.
And they've changed it so, you know, you have to pay for it when you get it. But they've changed it, and I'm trying to make sure that what people are telling me who should know that it's correct. If they order the food online, which is what I'm going to set up first, just this bag of food like I'm doing now, online, that you can say you're going to pay when you pick it up, your EBT card, you've got 3 or 4 days that I can hold it. In other words, get it delivered to the spot. And then they would pay at the machine on the other end. And
okay.
I said, this has to work.
Yeah.
It just has to work. Why can't they get food out there?
Right.
With their cards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
And we'll bring it to them.
Yeah. So you strike me as someone who, when challenges come up, you know how to contact people. You're not afraid to ask people and talk to people who maybe are an expert in that area or have experience and kind of overcoming those challenges.
Yeah.
And just say, this is the goal we have. What can we do to
overcome
that
challenge?
Yeah,
how do we get here? Yeah, I love that part of it.
Yeah, I can tell.
That's why my son says, don't take on anymore.
Yeah.
We need more help here.
Yeah.
Which I knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I have to have money to pay people too.
Right.
So.
Right. I constantly get contacted by folks who say, hey, you should do an article or you should do a podcast interview on this food hub I've heard about. And by the time I get around to contacting the folks who are running that food hub, they're often out of business. Food hubs have, it's one of those concepts that people really are in favor of. And I know there's money available right now through USDA and MDA and other entities to supply these things and to bolster them. But they don't have a great track record. Do you have any ideas on that, why that is? It's just such a great idea.
Because food doesn't have a very big markup, and I know that because interior design does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never worried about it. Food doesn't have a big markup, and you can't afford to throw it.
Yeah.
So you have to have it in and out, and that's why I do wine and bra fitting and that sustained me personally. Mm-hmm. So I could just, and because I sit here and I don't have to hire anybody.
Right.
I wait on the people who come in.
Yeah.
That's how. Otherwise, no, I wouldn't have either.
Yeah.
There's not enough at the beginning. And there was no help. No money help.
Yeah.
No, people weren't getting it, which is so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because they should be getting it.
Yeah.
It's number one agriculture in Minnesota. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's part of it. It's just getting over that idea that people should pay for food and pay for local food.
Right.
You know,
and that it helps everyone.
Is in the heart of agriculture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can't even get it? No.
Yeah. So it sounds like one of the keys for your success is that you have these other businesses going, so you're here anyway.
Yes.
And so it's not like you're coming in, this is the only thing you're doing is this food hub, and so you're kind of waiting around or whatever. You have these other businesses that, and so,
yes.
So
and I have rental space in the building from other businesses.
Do you have any advice to somebody who may be looking into something like this? It sounds like maybe there's a lot of flexibility within the food hub model itself. That there isn't just one way to do a food hub.
Yep.
But I was just wondering, do you have any advice for somebody who's looking? They say, hey, we've got some farmers in this area. We have some customers. We're trying to figure out how to get those two together.
One thing that I didn't mention is we own the building, so I don't have to charge rent for what I do here.
Mm-hmm.
So Real Food does not pay rent. to me, which is a big thing, especially with the equipment and all that.
Yeah.
They don't pay the utility bill.
Okay.
Which allows me to do what I want to with this space.
Right.
I started with one refrigerator and didn't know I had to have a commercial one, and nobody ever called me.
Right. Ignorance is bliss.
Exactly. And then got that all worked out and just did a little bit at a time. Uh-huh. Yeah, it takes, but 7 years isn't bad.
Yeah.
For that, we made it mm-hmm. by doing that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just don't have all the stuff.
Right.
That yeah. we need.
So your advice would be?
Do it slow.
Do it slow.
And maybe hang on to some other forms of income if you have them.
Right.
Till, I mean, you know, you have to work hard, but
yeah.
if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I would think one advantage right now is there seems to be, and I know talking to Ryan Pesch with the U of M Extension, he talks about this a lot. We seem to have an unprecedented amount of public funds available. Like, you've gotten this grant.
It's never been like this, ever, in all the time I've been doing this, which is since I moved back here in 2007.
Uh-huh.
There never was this kind of money for local food. This is the time to just make it shine now.
Yeah.
Come on. I love this. I am having fun. I have a daughter in Pennsylvania who has now stopped begging me to just quit.
Yeah.
I said, you wouldn't even like me if I quit. And I have a son who tells me he's trying to keep up with me.
For more information on the Real Food Hub and community-based food systems, see the podcast page for Ear to the Ground episode 332 at landstewardshipproject.org. If you have comments or suggestions about this podcast, contact Brian DeVore at bdevore@landstewardshipproject.org, or you can call 612-816-9342. By the way, it helps us greatly if you can give Ear to the Ground a rating on whatever podcast platform you utilize. And word of mouth is the best way to spread the news about our podcast. If you like what you hear, tell at least one person about LSP's Ear to the Ground. Thanks to Laura Borgendale, a Western Minnesota musician, for Ear to the Ground's theme music. And a special thank you to all of Land Stewardship Project's members who make initiatives such as this podcast possible. If you're not a member, visit landstewardshipproject.org to learn how you can support LSP. Thanks for listening.